Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Numbers, chapter 22. Numbers and chapter 22. Numbers and chapter 22, and I don't want to scare you. I've been officially in the ministry preaching for 42 years. Officially, 42 years. I've never preached a sermon on Balaam and his donkey. Never. And that on Monday morning, I'm reading my Bible, and I just kind of jumped off. I'm saying, yeah, I've never preached that. What can I learn? And what can I learn from this donkey? And so that's my message this morning. Now, here's the deal. You know, Pastor Rader, his outlines are almost minuscule. And if you look at the notes on these four pages, it's a little bit scary what I'm going to try to preach this morning. So buckle your seatbelts and let's get to it. Verse 1 of chapter 22. Let me tell you what's going on in chapter 21. Children of Israel are on their way to the promised land. They've been in the wilderness. Now they're making preparations. The old generation is dying off. New generation is now up at the forefront. They're conquering enemies on their way to the River Jordan. They're fighting battles and they're conquering. God is with them. Moses is still in their midst. But God is with them. And they're going to find a brand new enemy on the mountain that they didn't even know existed. An enemy like they had never fought knowingly before this time. There's a prophet in the land. His name is Balaam. He's a quote-unquote man of God, but he's like a whole lot of New Testament Christians today. They love the world. And Balaam liked his money. And he prophesied for reward. He was still considered a man of God. That's an amazing thing. You know, there are people in the family of God, and they may be even up forefront in the family of God, and they're not serving God. Balaam was doing it for himself. And let's not be that way as far as New Testament Christians. Let's not have that kind of people at Fundamental Baptist Church. This message I'm going to preach right now is as deep as you are spiritually, that's how far you'll go. This got so many levels to it. It really does. And it's rich. Verse 1 says, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed or afraid because of the children of Israel. You've heard me preach this before. Let me just say it in a sentence. The Church of Jesus Christ, the Philadelphia Church of Jesus Christ, does not have to fear the world. As a matter of fact, it's the other way around. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what Jesus said. It doesn't have to be a fortress mentality where we get inside the four walls of the church and we hold the fort till Jesus comes. Man, we're to occupy till he comes. We're to go forth and conquer new lands. So here are the Moabites and their king. He realizes the Hebrews are coming through the land and they have a reputation. Man, they're conquering city after city, and people groups are falling before them, and they have a God in their midst, the Lord God Jehovah, and they're afraid. Verse 4, and Moab said to the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as an ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers before unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river on the land of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. It's on the banks of the Euphrates. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So Balaam, the prophet of God, he does have a reputation. By the way, verses 1 through 4, simply put, there are spiritual battles going on that you and I know nothing about. And if you've been here on Sunday night and you heard some of these messages from the book of Revelation, you know that the atmosphere, the very atmosphere that we breathe, charged with demonic activity, spiritual wickedness in high places, battles that are going on for the souls of men and women and entire families and entire cities and communities all the time. These battles are taking place. There was a battle going on in the mountains beside the children of Israel. They were not even aware of what was going on. What Balak was saying, what his intentions were, none of this was even aware to him. New Testament Christianity takes a total commitment. That's what we need as children of God. Let's pray one more time. Father, would you now take over in a powerful way? God, we pray that you would this day work in our midst. Challenge the mature saint, the babe in Christ, and everybody in between. Oh God, may we all be enriched through the preaching and the studying and the reading of the Word of God this morning. Open our eyes to spiritual truth, because there's too much here for me to preach in one message. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't live like the world and wear a Christian hat and have the blessings of God. I'll say this before I get to the end of the message. It didn't turn out good for Balaam. He was slain. 24,000 Israelites were killed with him, because he tried to mix the message of the world so he could get some personal gain with the message of God. Balaam was a prophet of mammon. Take your Bibles, hold your hand here, go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. Just verse 16. But he was rebuked, and this is talking about Balaam. You can see that up in verse 15. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Balaam is mentioned 60 times in the Word of God. He's mentioned 5 times in the Old Testament, 3 times in the New. His name is mentioned 60 times. He was a prophet that had no spiritual discernment. He had been blinded by the God of gain. He had been blinded by the pagan nations that were around him, and he started to look at their treasures, and he wanted some of that for himself. New Testament Christian, child of God, you need to take a little bit of an examination of your own heart this morning and evaluate your life. Man, am I really just living for my things? Does it always have to be about me? Do I always have to be getting more? Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. And the word mammon is the word for gain. You can't be looking for self-promotion. Watch out for the people that are always trying to promote. They're going to step on you. They'll use you. Don't be that way. That is not Christ-like. Not Christ-like at all. And we're to have the mind of Christ. Go back to Numbers and chapter 22. Numbers in chapter 22. Again, you can't just wear a little medal on Sundays. I'm a Christian. And then wear the clothing of the world. 6 days a week, just live like the world. Six days a week, just talk like the world. Think like the world. Use people up. You know, just you can't do that. That is not New Testament Christianity. That's what Balaam experienced. And again, it didn't end good. All right, I want to get down to where the donkey is talking. So we're going to work our way through this. Look at verse 5 again. I already read, he sent messengers. He says, listen, I want you to, he said to the prophet of God, Balaam, he says, I want you to curse the people of God, because you obviously have some power and some standing with God. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination. Divination, speaking of the occult, in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So they came with money. They came with rewards. Said Balaam, you can be promoted in the land. Our king is a powerful man. It won't be long, you'll be right on top. And he said unto them, lodge here this night. He shouldn't have even listened to them, by the way, if he was a true prophet of God, and bless God for men and women who can't be bought. Not by trinkets, not by money, not by power. They can't be bought. God blessed those men and those women in the world today that stand for God and really aren't in it for self-gain. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, and the Lord shall speak unto me, and the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Look what God says to Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? He said, Balaam, you're running with the wrong crowd. Balaam, you know better than that. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? Come out from among them and be ye separate. The commands of Scripture are very clear concerning Bible separation. But Balaam, he's going to try to Christianize this new ministry that he has discovered, all right? Because it's going to line his pockets. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. That's God's people. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. I don't think I'd lie to God either. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Now you can underline that. That's the message from God to Balaam. That's it. That's the message for Balaam's life. He manipulates it. He massages it. He ends up twisting it around and actually perverts it. And that word perverted is used for the message of Balaam in describing Balaam's message. But the message is simply, you're not going to go with them. Do not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. In other words, he said to the men that brought the money, God says no. And it's not a small thing. It's 10 days journey between them. He said, God says no. Verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again. And you got to know this, the devil's relentless. He's relentless. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He came to your house last week, he'll come again this week. He's relentless, he's never going to quit. There's a constant drumbeat to compromise. Constant drumbeat to turn your back on God. Constant drumbeat to turn to the world. The sirens of the world are calling all of the time. And so these messengers come back and they got more in their hand. As a matter of fact, here's the message they're bringing from their leader to the prophet Balaam. Name your price. Name your price. Anything you desire, our king will give you. Man, how many would run to that? Let's read it. Verse 16, they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. The devil will tell you anything, man. He'll lie to you. He'll promise you things he cannot deliver. And what he does deliver is just very, very, very temporary. They say, name your price, Balaam. Again, praise God for men and women that can't be bought. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. You know, if you just went that far in the story, you'd say, great job, Balaam. But this is just pious words, as all it is. He's playing footsie. He's rubbing shoulders with people he's not even supposed to be listening to. He's letting them wear him down. He says, "If the palace was filled with silver and it was offered to me and gold, I couldn't take it." That's just like the preacher, and I read this one time where a preacher was offered another church and he was going to get paid twice as much as he was getting paid to pastor, twice as much as he was getting paid to pastor the church he was pastoring at that moment. And the preacher said to his wife, he says, honey, while I stay down here and pray, you go. What God's will is you go upstairs and pack our bags. You know, it's just like we have this predetermined that we're going to just do it anyway. We sound real good, and we make it sound good, and we put religious clothing on it, but we're sold out. We're not sold out to God. It's whatever we can get in the world. It says here in verse 9, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here the night, this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Don't you think God already made it clear? All right. And God came unto Balaam at night and said, said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. If you're determined to rebel against God, he's going to let you. And then you'll pay a price. That's the problem with having a proud heart and a haughty spirit. If you are determined, I shared this with the high school this last week. God did not make you get saved. He gave you a free will. He gave you a choice. He came to you. You heard of his love and what he did on the cross. And you repented of your sin and you received the love gift of Calvary. And you were born again. He didn't make you get born again. If you refuse Christ, that's your choice. And you go to hell. But he gave you the opportunity and you got born again. Free will. After you get saved. He doesn't make you serve him. He gives you that same free will. And if you'll serve him, you'll be blessed. But if you choose not to serve him, it's not the blessing of God. It's the chastisement of God. Even though you're a Christian, it's the wrath of God. It's the judgment of God. You're not a robot. He gave you a free will over there. You chose right, you're going to heaven. You chose wrong, you're going to hell. After you get saved, if you got saved, he gives you a free will in life every day of your life. You choose to serve him, there's going to be blessings. You choose not to serve him, you choose to rebel, he's going to let you rebel. It says in Psalms 105, he gave them the requests of their heart and brought leanness to their souls. That describes so many people. I got to be like the world. I got to look like the world and talk like the world and you know, just and chasing an elusive dream is what it is. It's all empty. And you choose wrong. And then with that rebellion comes chastisement. 24,000 Israelites end up dying. Let's read the story. So God says, okay, you go with him. He's not condoning it. He's letting him. It says in, verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And here's another reason I know God didn't want him to do it. He was angry. And God's anger was kindled. You see, even though we're in a time of grace and we're saved by grace and God gives us that free will and here we are we're doing the things of the world thinking that this is cool, it's going to end badly. All right, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Praise God for that angel. Praise God for his strong arm and not allowing us to do just everything we want. Now he was riding upon his ass or his donkey, and his two servants were with him, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. This is interesting. Here's a donkey, and he sees the angel of the Lord, and here's a prophet of God, and he doesn't see the angel of the Lord. There's something about sin that desensitizes us to the known will of God. Talking about the known will of God. God said, don't hang out with those people. God said, don't go with those people. God said, what are you doing with that crowd? And now he's all caught up in what he his own big plans, and he doesn't see the angel of the Lord. You know, that happens in our life as well. We can get all caught up in our flesh, and God is working in our lives, and we don't even recognize it as God in our lives. In fact, some of us wouldn't recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit if he shouted in our ear because we're so desensitized by the world. Balaam's on his way to collect a reward. It's a great day. Of course, the donkey, he sees the angel of the Lord. Verse 25. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall. Let me read verse 24 too. I got to read verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. So she'd run off into a field. He's mad. Verse 24. For the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot. You got a crushed foot? Against the wall. And he smote her again, fighting the prophet, the preacher, is fighting God. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. He had a hissy fit. It's not going his way. He's on his way to get some riches. He's on his way to be promoted. And this dumb animal is keeping him from his will. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said, now this would be humorous if it wasn't serious, but still, it's still humorous. I read this, and I'm thinking of Mr. Ed, and some of you that are older, you remember Francis the Talking Mule, who was actually funnier than Mr. Ed. You say, how do you know that? Well, people told me about that, all right? But there's Francis the Talking Mule, there's Mr. Ed, and they have nothing over this donkey. And all this donkey is, the donkey's a dumb animal. And God uses animals at other times in the Word of God. But the dumb animal is used as a messenger. He's parroting these words. And what's amazing to me is not only that and it's a miracle, and I believe it happened, because God said it happened, all right? The donkey talks to his master, he talks to Balaam. What's amazing to me is Balaam talks back to the donkey. And I often wonder, what about Balaam's two servants? What are they doing? Are they listening to this conversation? He says to his donkey, he's arguing with his donkey, and the donkey's talking back to him, all right? So let's just read it here. Verse 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? The donkey says, why are you hitting me? You hit me three different times. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. He's always arguing, all right? I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass is, the donkey's thinking, you want to see a sword? I'll show you a sword. It's in the hand of the angel of the Lord. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, have I ever disobeyed you, Balaam? Have I ever not obeyed your every whim and woe? Your beast of burden, I've always been there for you. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. I guess so. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, this is key wording right here, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Balaam is not doing the will of God. Balaam is doing his own thing. Preacher, I got my own brand of Christianity. Uh-uh. You might think you do, but you don't. It's either Christianity or it's of the world. Pure and simple. I'll say it one more time. You can't just wear a Christian hat and be part of the world. That's not how it works. You can't do your own thing like Balaam was doing here. That is a perverted will of God. Theologians refer to the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. Unfortunately, probably most of New Testament Christianity is in the permissive will of God. God is a perfect will. God had a will for Balaam. He wasn't supposed to have anything to do with these pagan nations around about him. Nothing to do with them. That was God's perfect will. But Balaam stepped over into God's permissive will. God said, okay, you go ahead and go. It's not going to end well. And God was angry about it, but you go ahead and go. See, you can be saved by grace, saved by the mercy of God. You don't do anything to earn salvation. We all understand that. And you take that salvation as a fire escape. I'm not going to go to hell. And then you live your life the way you want to live it and look for God's rubber stamp of blessing. Don't work that way. God never has and never will bless sin. Never. He's a holy God. There's a permissive will. There's a perfect will. Even in the permissive will, God is sovereign. God's going to take this and use it for good. Let me read at least to the end of this chapter. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. If it weren't for that donkey, Balaam, you'd be a dead man. She'd be the only one alive. And again, bless God for the hedge of protection he puts around each one of us. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. It's never too late to repent. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shall thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak, and when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? So he's kind of reprimanding the prophet a little bit. Listen, I sent for you a long time ago. Why didn't you come right away? And here's this man of the world doing his best to replace God. Skip all the way down to verse 40, 41. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. Three times, Balak takes Balaam to high mountains to look down on the Israelites, to curse them. Three times, Balaam blessed them. Now, Balaam, as far as I'm concerned, was never a prophet of God, not in his heart. He actually encouraged compromise to the people of God. And a plague came upon God's people. And 24,000 Hebrews died in that plague because of the prophet Balaam and his desire for gain. There's the high places of Baal in verse 41. Verse 14, next chapter, the top of Mount Pisgah. Verse 28, chapter 23, the top of Mount Peor. And I just would remind you again, it doesn't end well. Not for Balaam, not for the people that listened to his promiscuous message to intermingle with the Moabites and the people of the world. And you can be just like them and still be a child of God. It's a wrong message. I would say to you, that there are Balaam's prophets like Balaam all over America saying, just let go, just compromise, just give in. And listen, you can be in God's permissive will, but wouldn't it be far better to be in His perfect will, to know God's blessing? God isn't going to force Himself on you. This message was so big all week long. I probably didn't, you can't overstudy the Word of God, but I wrote too many things down. I got too much here to share, and I'm not going to get to it all. And my time is long gone already. It's a simple message, though. You can know God's blessing by going all out for God. Or you could, even as a child of God, turn to the world and know His chastisement. That's not a dark message. It is if you're looking at it with a wrong head. But if you're looking at it with the right spirit, you understand the chastising hand of God, that's a blessed thing. That's a blessed thing. He puts a hedge about you. He protects you. He brings donkeys into your life. There's something. The messenger that God used was a donkey. In the picture, as far as application, the preacher is a donkey. And I don't have to be smart. I just got to say what God says in His book. And just give it out. Listen to the donkey. He may be as homely as a donkey, but you listen to the donkey. And if He's giving you God's message, God doesn't bless sin. Isn't it good that God does bless righteousness? Strive for Him. Try to live for Him. You'll know the blessings of God. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.